So glad you're here this morning. Happy Mother's Day again to all moms. We are at the end of a sermon series on the family. This week is our last week, and two questions we've tried to answer throughout these last 5 weeks have been this. Number one, what is a family? What does the Scripture say a family is? And the second thing is, what makes a healthy family? And we looked at what Jesus says a family is, that a family is those who do the will of the Father. That's essentially what makes a family. And that could be your blood relatives, or that could be a lot of other people who want to do the will of the Father. That's your family. So what makes a healthy family? And that's what we've looked at for the last 4 weeks. And a few weeks ago we looked at a healthy family as a family that really serves each other and they look out for each other's needs, whether that's somebody in your home or somebody that you know, that you have a relationship with Christ in. They're a part of your family. They're a part of your lineage and your blood because of your relationship with Christ. And so you're a healthy family is one that serves each other. Also, a healthy family is one that knows how to talk with each other. And a lot of conflict, a lot of times where family begins to break apart is when we don't talk anymore or we talk in a way that hurts each other. And so we talked about healthy communication. And then last week we talked about care. And we talked about care is a little bit different from serving each other, but care is that desire within us to say, I really want to know how you're doing. That desire to take care of, to be tender and to be compassionate, to listen, to love those people that are in our family. Not just to do for, which is serving, and that's good. And not just to communicate well, which is also good, but to genuinely, from our heart, really care for the other people in our family. And so today what we're going to talk about is worship. And it's one of those things that when we started talking about this series and we began praying about what do these 4 weeks need to look like, worship is one of those things that really came to the forefront. A healthy family is a family that worships. But we thought that's going to be a really short sermon to talk about, hey, it's really important to come to church together and what else do you say? And we knew that worship, a family that worships together, a family that worships has to be larger than just coming together and just getting dressed to go somewhere and then go eat afterwards. It's got to be more than that. But what does that look like? Well, Deuteronomy 6 has a lot to say about that. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses is talking about what a family should look like. And he's talking about this. Deuteronomy 6, beginning of verse 4, says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," Moses says. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Let's go back. Verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," Moses says. Verse 5, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength." This is the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. This is the fifth book of the Old Testament. And 1,500 years later, Jesus is talking about the same thing when somebody says, what's the greatest commandment and how do you receive eternal life? And Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength." He's quoting this verse right here. He's talking about that's the way to eternal life. And then right after that, it says this, "These commandments." What commandments? These commandments that he's talking about in Deuteronomy 6 happen in Deuteronomy chapter 5. These commandments. What commandments are those? Well, they're the ones you've heard about a lot. They're the Ten Commandments. In Deuteronomy 5, Moses has just given the children of Israel from God the Ten Commandments. And then he says to these Israelites, as he's talking to them about what their family should look like, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." What are those commandments? Well, those commandments were, no other gods before me, no idols, don't misuse my name, observe the Sabbath, honor your father and mother, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not covet, do not bear false witness, do not steal. Those Ten Commandments, he says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. On your hearts. What's he saying? these 10 commandments that I give to you are to be so familiar, you're to know them, you're to quote them, you're to memorize them, you're to meditate on them, you're to know them so well that it's like they're not inscribed on two tablets of stone with God's finger, but they're inscribed on your heart. And you know them, and they are who you are. It's not that you've just memorized them with your mind, but they've come into your life so much that it's almost second nature, that you've heard it, and you've heard it taught, and you've discussed it with your children, and you've discussed it with your family, and you've read about it, and you've talked about it, and then all of a sudden it becomes who you are. That's what he's talking about. And then he says to families, impress them on your children. Isn't that a beautiful imagery? Impress them on your children. Make sure that they know them. Make sure that they live them. Make sure that they're aware of them. Make sure that they are second nature in their life as it's second nature in your life. What's he saying? Pass this on. Fathers and mothers, pass this on to your children so that they might pass it on to their children. That's what he's talking about. Then he says this, talk about them. Talk about them when you walk along the road. Discuss them. Talk about them when you walk along the road and when you sit at home. What's he saying? Well, that's talking about activity. You're either walking or sitting all the time. So what's he saying? Talk about them all the time. Talk about them. But think about this. Parents, talk with your children about the Ten Commandments. And so what they're saying here is this. Talk about the fact that husbands and wives need to be faithful to each other. At the appropriate time, guide them along to where you teach them not to commit adultery. Guide them along to the point that you talk to them about not coveting, not wanting what other people have. Talk to them about stealing and talk to them about what it means to bear false witness and lie. And what he's saying is this, as you walk and as you talk and as you do life day to day, as you go to school and as you play with your friends and as you come home and as we live life, we're going to look through the lens of these Ten Commandments about the things that happen in your life. When you have conflict with a friend and you hear that somebody's told a lie, well, you know what? What God likes, let's talk about what God likes. It's not the parenting philosophy. It's not this at all. Hey, let's not talk about that around the kids. It was just the opposite. It said, let's talk about that with the kids. It said just the opposite. And so, if somebody cheated on somebody else, somebody that they knew that was in their community, and they were splitting up, they didn't just say, well, you know, Mr. John and Miss Susie have decided to get a divorce. No. Mr. John cheated on Miss Susie. That's why they're getting a divorce. Let's talk about faithfulness with our kids. Let's use this as an opportunity to talk about how Mr. John, we love him, and he cheated on his wife. And you know what we're going to do for him? We're going to pray for him. Because God says what God likes is he likes for when a man and a woman are married, he wants them to just be together and be faithful to each other. So they begin at a very early age teaching them this, teaching them what God's Word says. Not saying, ooh, let's don't talk about it. Or let's make it sound better than it is. No, don't be scared. Bring them along at the appropriate age, but explain it in a way that they can understand it. But listen, here's the Ten Commandments. Impress them on your children. Talk about them all the time, he says. When you lie down, when you get up. It's a good thing. Talk about them. I remember sitting on the edge of the bed one night with one of our kids. It was about 4 at the time. We were going over our Bible verses. And we were, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we're talking about that. And what's sin? Well, sin is when we do bad things. It's when we do things that aren't good. Maybe we hurt somebody else and that hurts God. And the bad things that we do, that separates us from God. And so, that separates us from God and it separates us from other people. And so we started talking about sin. And I remember just sitting there. And all of a sudden, as the more we talked about it, this four-year-old was sitting there. And he just looked at me and said, I don't want any sin in my life. I want that to be my heart, God. I don't want any sin in my life. What do? We take the Word. We take the word not only of the Old Testament, but remember Jesus in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "You've been taught this, but I say this." Jesus said, "You've been taught this out of the Old Testament. You've been taught that it's wrong to commit adultery. It's wrong to go and be with somebody else. But I tell you this, that when a man looks at a woman and lusts after her and wants to sleep with her, then he's committed adultery in his heart. You've heard that you shouldn't murder somebody. But I tell you that when you're angry with someone, that's not what God likes. It displeases Him." And then Jesus goes on and He begins to talk about prayer. And He begins to talk about divorce. And He begins to talk about fasting. And He begins to talk about retaliation. And all these things that Jesus are teaching are the same things that God says to us today. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. What's He saying? He's saying that these words and these principles and these values are the things that He wants us to be talking about all the time with our kids. And when we go through difficult situations, when they're dealing with things that they really don't understand, when they're dealing with disappointment, then we say, "You know what? You know what I think God likes?" And we just put it in their vernacular. We just begin to talk about what God likes and what God says, so that when they grow up to the point that they make their own decisions, it's so been impressed on them. It's so second nature in them that when they hear it for the 25th time, and now they're a teenager, and you're not with them, and you've talked about it 24 times, that principle, what God likes, just comes to mind. And they make the decision of what does God like? What does God like? As a parent, do you ever want to be able to talk about spiritual things more naturally with your kids? I do. Most of the time, I felt unnatural about it most of my life. As a parent, do you want to... Do you have a desire to talk about? I mean, we talk about, man, we can talk about sports and we can talk about school that day and we can talk about friends. But are you one of those kind of people that when you start talking about Jesus, I mean, your hands get all sweaty? I mean, it's your kids and your tongue gets big and you just can't. It's like you don't know what to say. And you're thinking, "I'm a Christian and these are my kids and I should be able to say the right stuff and I don't know how." Well, there's probably a good reason for that. You know? Do you ever hope that maybe something that you'll say, some of us feel like this, "I just hope and pray," I've heard people say this, "I just hope and pray that by the time they get ready to make their own decisions, that something I've said, something I've done, or something the church has done will stick. I just hope something will stick and then they'll do right." It's like spaghetti. The first time I ever made spaghetti, I don't know if they still do this on the box, but they used to tell you that you'll know when it's done by taking it and throwing it against the wall. Is that still on the box or not? Most of us don't read the box, we just cook it. I mean, I remember when I was first learning to cook spaghetti, it says, "Take this and if you'll know if it's done by throwing it against the wall. If it sticks, it's done." And I was like, that's the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard. We treat our kids like spaghetti a lot of times. We're just hoping something will stick. You know, maybe something will stick. Why is it so hard for us? Well, the reason it's so hard for a lot of us is you may be the first generation to try to do what you're doing. You may be the first generation that's in your line that's really tried to talk about Jesus on a daily basis. You may be the first person that's trying to understand the Bible and really explain it to your kids and help them see through that filter. And it's just a little bit awkward. It's like trying to do something for the first time. And it's going to feel a little bit awkward for a while until you begin to do it more and it becomes more natural. And it will become natural. It will. So cut yourself some slack. Maybe you're the first one to do it. A lot of times this mindset's developed in a lot of churches. The idea is, we won't blame the churches, maybe we blame ourselves, but it's the idea that we're going to make sure our family's in church. And we're going to make sure our kids, we want our kids to get saved. We want our kids to become a Christian. We want them to ask Jesus into their heart. We use all kinds of terminology to describe that. But we want them to get saved. And if we'll just go to church and if they'll just get saved, then that will be good. Because that's their fire insurance. And they're going to go to heaven when I die. They're going to be there with me. It's kind of selfish a little bit, you know. I want to make sure they're going to be with me when I get there. But the idea of, I'm just going to take them to church, I hope that they get saved, and all the instruction is left up to, we're talking about teaching the Word, all the instruction is left up to the Sunday school teacher. And then when we go home and we walk through the week, we don't have any conversations. And so what we've developed is something that's not out of Deuteronomy at all. We've developed this system where we go and we entrust our kids to somebody else. You teach them, and then we go home and we just feel uncomfortable talking about stuff. And what God intended from the very beginning never really happens. It never really happens. And that's God's desire. But you know what? We can do better than that. We can. Do you ever feel like you could be a better parent when it comes to your child's spiritual development? I do all the time. I do all the time. You know what? Our desire as a body is to partner together, to walk together, so that it would be more than just a guy standing up on Sunday morning saying, you need to be a better parent and you need to apply Deuteronomy 6. Now, enjoy lunch and happy Mother's Day. What does partnering together look like? Partnering together is this. It means we begin to ask the questions as a church. Then how do we help parents do that? How will somebody help me do that? How will somebody help me bridge the knowledge that I've had since I was little to be able to talk to my kids about it in a natural way in the things that they're dealing with to the point that they love and want to know Jesus more than I do? How do we partner together to do that? Well, one of the things that we're hoping that will help is just what we talked about this morning and what we talked about last week, is a worship experience in the fall for 30 minutes, sandwiched in between our other two services, where kids bring their parents to worship. And it's not about a program. It's not about a strategy. It's about meeting people where they really are, with their kids, and wanting to see families changed, wanting to see kids grow up to want to and to really look like Jesus. That's what it's about. I want to give you five things that every kid needs. Five things that every kid needs. And these are the things that as a ministry we're going to be intentional about this fall, and we are already intentional beginning with some things like what's going on right now with small groups. Five things that every kid needs, and this is what we're going to try to give every kid as a body that we're responsible for. Number one, every kid needs a really big God. Every kid needs a really big God. When they come together on Sunday mornings, when we come together on Sunday mornings, every Sunday is going to be a party. You know why? Because it's going to be a party to celebrate who God is and what He's done. And we can do that in a way that's exciting, that teaches a lesson. So every Sunday, as they come and as they learn about who God is and what He's done, what do you think that's going to develop in them as they grow up? What's going to happen in them is they're going to learn that I can trust God with anything and everything in my life. If I've heard from an early age, from kindergarten and first grade and second grade and third grade and fourth grade and fifth grade in small groups and in kids' worship, if I've heard that over and over and over, who God is and what He's done and who God is and what He's done and what He's trying to teach me and who God is, you know what happens? You grow up and you begin to trust Him. You hear the stories. You see it displayed. You've heard it taught in a way that excites you. Some of us have heard David and Goliath taught 250 times, and not one time did we think it was exciting. We can teach it in a way that captures kids' attentions, where they grow up and they think, you know what, I can trust Him. Second thing every kid needs is someone else who believes what they believe. Someone who believes what they believe. Every Sunday, kids already spend quality time with their friends in a small group talking about values and principles from the Bible. They do that with their friends. Friends, and you know this, are going to influence their decisions. You're going to be an influence, and so are friends. And every parent knows how important it is to keep the right friends with your kids. Kids Rock, it's going on right now. those guys are getting in small groups and they're talking about the lesson. They're talking about the value. They're doing an activity together about the value that they've heard about. And you know what they're doing? With their friends. Fourth graders with fourth graders. And second grade girls with second grade girls. And they're talking about the value of the day. They're talking about the scripture of the day. Just this past year, one of our sons had a birthday, and we tell him, you can invite X number of friends. And we knew there were friends from school, and there were friends from sports activities, and there were friends from church. We didn't know, you know, we said, well, you can invite X amount of friends, and then we'll do this. And it was just a joy to us. We said, this is who I want to invite. Every person was from his small group. Every person was from here. Now, I want to tell you something. If he gets to be 16 and 17 and does the same thing, I'll be even more excited. But that thrilled my soul to know that already we've got people, adults, that love children. And they love them and they're praying for them and they're teaching them. And they're learning, I'm going to discuss the most important thing in life with these people. And if I discuss the most important thing in life with these friends, who do I want to be best friends with? Who do I want to hang out with? Third thing that every kid needs another voice that says the same thing that their parents are saying. Every kid needs another voice that says the same thing that their parents are saying. We have small group leaders, adults who work with kindergartners and third graders and fifth graders who like to have fun and they're passionate about teaching the principles of God's Word. They like to have fun. And you got to have fun to work with kids, you know? If they're going to enjoy it, if they're going to like it, if they're going to learn something, you got to have fun. Sooner or later, they're going to listen to other voices. And smart parents want there to be other voices in our children's lives who are saying the same thing we're saying. Smart parents aren't jealous about some other adult developing a relationship with our kids. Smart parents love it when somebody comes alongside them and echoes the same thing that God's Word says that you're saying. It's a beautiful thing. Fourth thing that all kids need. All kids need nosy parents who make it their business to know where their kids are spiritually. All kids need nosy parents who make it their business to know where their kids are spiritually. That's why with Studio 252, we want to make that for families, make that a routine. And it's something you saw this in the video. One thing that we'll have will be a no drop-off policy. Because the purpose is for kids and parents to experience worship together. And kids and grandparents. And kids and single parents. And kids and surrogate parents, whoever's taking responsibility for them, whoever the parent, whoever the voice is in their life, that they can come here and experience worship together so that when we walk out through the week, we can talk about what we're learning. The average parent has over one year, the average parent has more opportunities to talk about spiritual things in the life of a child in 1 year than we do in 10 years at church. You have more opportunities to talk with your kids about spiritual things in 1 year than we do in 10 years. And that's why most of what goes on at home, most everything that goes on at home is even more important than what goes on here. Because that's the primary influence. So how do we partner together? How do we do more than say, we just need to do it, and it's never been shown to me, and I don't know how? We get together, and at the end of Kids, at the end of Studio 252, we say, okay, parents, here's homework. To go home and talk to your kids about this, the value we've talked about today. Let's think about how we can talk about that with our kids this week. Fifth thing that all kids need. Uncommon sense to help them make the wise choice. Uncommon sense to help them make wiser choices. We want to make sure that the Bible's never boring and that kids walk away with a truth to remember each week. They need to see the world from God's perspective. Because sooner or later, and sooner for most of us, they're going to mature into teenagers. And they're going to begin to understand difficult issues and make their own choices. And the decisions are going to be more complicated. And there's going to be countless influences in their life to pull them away from the potential that they have in God. And you know that that's going to happen. And so what we want to do as we partner together and as we invest in our children is to equip them to make wise choices. Wise choices. I want you to do something, if you would. I hope I've got one here. I do. Pull this out. Everybody pull this out. It's going to be a hands-on activity. This is your worship guide. I want to mention something that I mentioned last week. You got a little blue piece of paper in there, and then you've got a little cream-colored piece of paper in there that's kind of like a cardstock paper. Take the little blue piece of paper. On one side, it says Sunday mornings this fall. I'm not going to read that. You can take that home. That talks just a little bit about what we've talked about already this morning. But you've heard me talk about Studio 252 and what that's going to look like. You already know, if you have children, you've experienced what happens in small groups on Sunday mornings. The cream-colored card is an opportunity for you to be able to serve if you'd like to. There's everything on there from setting up chairs to helping with a small group discussion, teaching a class, helping out with Studio 252, acting and being crazy and stuff on stage, to helping out with tech stuff, with sound and lighting and video, to being a greeter. There's all kinds of opportunities there for you to serve. And most of you got that last week, and some of you got it in the mail this week. And so what I'm going to do in just a minute, we're going to, as we close in worship, I'm going to give you an opportunity. You've already been thinking, you've already been praying. I wouldn't give this to you today and say, fill it out. And if this is the first time you've ever seen it, don't fill it out this morning. But if you've already been thinking and praying about where it is next fall that you would like to serve, then go ahead. I'm going to give you some time in just a minute as we close in worship to fill that out, to check a box, to put it into the offering box in just a minute. But hear me when I say this too. On the back side of the blue sheet is our needs that we have to be able to do Studio 252, to be able to rearrange all of our children in preschool areas. It comes to about $43,000. Now, everybody look at me for just a minute. You can look at this price list later. I want to tell you something straight from me. I don't know anybody that I'm still coming into my own when it comes to talking about money. I don't feel comfortable doing it. I feel impressed by God to teach us about how to be generous people. The Bible talks a lot about being generous. So we talk a lot about that. I feel comfortable doing that. I guess what I don't feel comfortable is everything that I've seen modeled most of my life when people talk about money. Most of it has turned me off, and most of it turns off other people. Hear me when I say this. All that I know to do, and all that this staff knows to do, is to say, God, what are you saying? Where do you want us to go? And just make the need available. We're not going to meet with the 10 wealthiest givers and ask them to pledge so much. We're not going to ask you to fill out a pledge card. We're not going to do so many things. We're not going to talk about it and hammer you with it every week. But we are going to do this. We are going to say, this is what we feel like God wants to do. And these are some of the needs for it to happen, that need to happen for it to happen. And we're always open to whatever God wants to do that may be different than what our plans are. But this list is about $43,000. We're going to have a special offering last Sunday of June for people to give that Sunday. You can give before then. You can give after then. But we're going to have a special Sunday, the last Sunday of June, for people to give towards this. And we'll take that and we'll do with it whatever we can. And if there's more, we'll do more. And if there's less, God will stretch it. We believe that God knows what He's doing. And so just hear me and hear my heart when I say, and you're going to hear me talk about it in weeks to come. I don't want to give you like a little commercial that bores you. I don't want to hammer you with money. But I want to say this. I believe that God wants us to partner together to see families' lives changed. And this is one way that we feel like we can do that. So what I'm going to do right now, and I don't you normally end on talking about money, but we'll end that way. We're going to end, and what I want you to do now is I want you to do this, two things. I want you to pray for your kids as we close. And worship team can come on up if you want to, because we're going to have music as you're doing this. I want you to pray for your kids.